My dearly beloved in Christ, it is wonderful that we here at the City of Mary are able to perform all of the liturgical ceremonies. Most priests, especially who have a parish, a church in the middle of a city, might not be able to have processions. We have the grounds, we are removed from the city, and we can perform these beautiful liturgical devotions. As I mentioned before the beginning of the procession, that this procession on the 25th of April goes back to the year 590. That is how ancient is the origin of this procession. And it is so important in the liturgy that the procession be held on the 25th that even if it occurs during Easter week, it is held every year on that day. The only exception would be if the 25th occurs on Easter Sunday. Then the procession would be on the following Tuesday. So it is an important procession, and as you know, there also are processions on the 3 days before Ascension Thursday, and those are referred to as the minor litanies. Those are also called the rogation days. But those also occur during the Paschal season. And it might at first seem a little bit out of place for the priest to be wearing the violet vestments, to not have the flowers on the altar, to extinguish the Paschal candle here in the beautiful, joyful Easter season. But by having these penitential practices at Easter time reminds us that we need to offer prayer and penance throughout the year, regardless of the season. There are many wonderful stories about the rogation procession, especially that on April 25th. There was, in the year 590 in Rome, a plague. Now, there have been plagues throughout history, various epidemics, and we know what a trial that can be from the past year. The disruption of normal life. But we must always remember, why do such trials happen? It is permitted by God because of the sins of men. An opportunity to ask forgiveness for our sins, to offer prayers and petitions in order to obtain blessings. But the story is told about this plague in the year 590 in the city of Rome, that many people died. And so the Pope, St. Gregory the Great, ordered this procession. And as he came toward the end of the procession, he saw an angel with a sword dripping with blood put it back into its scabbard. And from that moment, no one else in Rome died of that plague. So it was a heavenly message to him that God was appeased by this public procession, this penitential procession, and the plague was now averted or ended. And in fact, St. Gregory saw the angel above a monument in Rome that is called the Mausoleum of Hadrian, Hadrian's tomb. Now that was built in the decade of the 130s. 130 to 137, something like that, this monument was built. It's very large. It is on the right side of the Tiber River, not too far from the Vatican. And at the time it was built, it was the largest building in Rome. And it is a round structure, quite high. So the Emperor Hadrian had that built for his tomb and that of his family. But now it is called the Castel Sant'Angelo, the castle of the angel, because over it is where St. Gregory saw the angel. And so to this day, there is a statue of an angel sheathing his sword above the Castel Sant'Angelo, above the tomb of Hadrian. So a little interesting history there. Another story about the processions, both the greater litanies on April 25th and then the minor litanies, the 3 days before Ascension, is that when that great bishop, St. Charles Borromeo, who was living in Rome, went to Milan to take over. That was his see. The Pope had made him the Bishop of Milan, Northern Italy. When he went to his diocese in the 1560s or 1570s, he found that the practice of the litanies was very neglected. And he revived the Catholic spirit among the faithful, and he himself walked in the procession barefoot. And the people took note, and they started attending the processions in large numbers. Sadly, in this country, we are not as aware of these wonderful practices and devotions and liturgical ceremonies, because in our country it was not always possible to do them. But they, again, were practiced and done in Catholic countries, Catholic societies, and are certainly a powerful means of obtaining God's blessings. Now, you notice in the Mass of Rogation, taken from St. Luke, our Lord talks about prayer, the power of prayer, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, etc. And he tells a story, a parable, of a man who has a friend who comes to him unexpectedly from a journey, and his cupboard is empty. He has nothing to give him. This friend is famished. He's traveled a long way by foot. He arrives at his friend's house, and the host is very distraught that he has nothing to provide his very good friend. So he goes to his next door neighbor and pounds on the door. And the man says, "Don't bother me." Ignores him at first. And he keeps pounding. Says, "Stop the noise. Don't bother me. I and my family, we're in bed. I'll help you tomorrow." And the man keeps knocking and keeps knocking. And finally, the man from within gets up and gives him whatever he needs, not because it's his friend, just to get rid of him. So what does our Lord mean to convey by this story? Our Lord is telling us that God wishes us to bother him with our prayers, to persevere in prayer when we want something, when we need something, to ask over and over, and to persevere in prayer. So God wants to be bothered by us. He delights in being petitioned. And let us remember what the spiritual writers and what the catechism tell us regarding fruitful prayer. That first of all, we must pray for something that is spiritually for our well-being. That doesn't mean we cannot pray for health, for material needs. We should. But it also means that sometimes God will not grant them, because he desires above all the salvation of the soul. So when we pray, especially for our spiritual needs, we must pray with humility and a deep conviction of our dependence on God and our need of his help. We must pray with confidence in God, not doubting that he will give us what we need. Many people lack that confidence. We also must pray with perseverance. We can't just ask once or twice. We have to continue to pray. Like Saint Monica, who earned the conversion of her son Augustine by her continuous prayer for years. So to persevere in prayer, again, to pray with humility and confidence, a great trust in Almighty God. So the beautiful liturgy of the Rogation Mass, of the procession that we just had, remind us of the importance of prayer. We need to pray just like we need to breathe to live. By prayer, we earn the graces of God. Some people will say, well, if God knows what I need, why do I have to ask him? He knows everything, right? Yes, he knows what we need, but he is not going to give it to us unless we ask for it. And that is the law, you might say, that he has laid down, that we must ask for what we need. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Let us then importune to bother, so to speak, Almighty God with our frequent prayers, not hesitating to ask daily and many times a day for all the blessings, spiritual and temporal, of which we need. And let us not doubt that we have a loving Father in heaven who desires to give us all that we need to bring us to our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.